Imagine a political drama opening with a shocking scene of a congressman killing a dog. No pilot testing, no weekly episodes, just a $100 million commitment for two full seasons, released all at once. This wasn't a Hollywood executive's fever dream. It was Netflix's House of Cards in 2013, a decision driven not by creative intuition, but by algorithm. Netflix had discovered a perfect storm of audience preferences. Viewers who loved David Fincher's directing style also watched Kevin Spacey films and the original BBC series. While traditional networks clung to pilots and Nielsen ratings, Netflix was leveraging something far more valuable, viewer data. This watershed moment marked Silicon Valley's official infiltration into Hollywood's creative sanctuary, forever changing how entertainment gets made, distributed, and consumed. The old gatekeepers were losing control, and they never saw it coming. For decades, entertainment empires thrived by controlling the scarce resources of production and distribution. Major labels, publishers, and studios maintained oligopolies that weathered numerous technological shifts, from phonographs to VCRs, because each innovation still required significant capital investment. When rock and roll emerged, established companies dismissed it as a teenage fad. Frank Sinatra called it music sung, played, and written by cretinous goons. This dismissal created opportunities for independent labels, who briefly flourished before the majors reasserted control through acquisitions and scale advantages. By 1995, just six majors controlled nearly 85% of the global recording market. Digital technology, however, introduced unstoppable changes. Unlimited distribution capacity, global piracy networks, low-cost production tools, and new distributors with unlimited shelf space. For the first time, power shifted from traditional gatekeepers to platforms that could manage consumer attention and leverage customer data, a fundamental change with no path back to the old model. Entertainment products face unique economic challenges that traditional media companies had mastered through strategic release windows. Unlike physical goods, entertainment has high fixed costs but negligible marginal costs. As experience goods, consumers can only value them after consumption, with valuations varying widely. This creates pricing dilemmas. Set prices too high and lose low-value customers, too low and sacrifice revenue from high-value customers. The industry's solution was price discrimination through timed releases, expensive hardcovers before paperbacks, theatrical releases before DVDs and broadcast TV. This approach worked because companies controlled both quality and timing. When digital distribution emerged, publishers tried applying the same logic, delaying ebook releases to protect hardcover sales. This proved catastrophically wrong. Research showed digital consumers didn't consider print book substitutes. Delaying ebooks actually reduced their sales by 40%, with digital consumers either losing interest or finding alternatives. Digital technology inherently undermined segmentation strategies through rapid information diffusion and costless duplication. What worked for decades became a liability in the digital marketplace. Traditional media companies repeatedly missed digital opportunities by evaluating innovations solely through their existing business lens. In 1997, AT&T's A2B Music offered downloadable songs and portable devices with flash storage, years before iTunes, iPods, or Napster. Despite addressing industry concerns with digital rights management and micro-billing capabilities, music executives couldn't grasp the shift. One called referring to music as bits insulting, while another complained they spoke a different fucking language. Similarly, Encyclopedia Britannica, earning $650 million annually at its peak, rejected Microsoft's 1985 offer to license their content for a CD-ROM encyclopedia. Microsoft created Encarta instead, pricing it at just $99. By 1996, Britannica sales had plummeted by half. After failed digital attempts, they sold for just $135 million and eventually discontinued their print edition after 200 plus years. These failures stemmed from organizational cultures unable to recognize that the fundamental rules of their industry had changed. While blockbusters persist, the revolution lies in how content finds its audience. Early internet value came from access to millions of previously unavailable niche products. By 2008, this long-tail access generated $4 to $5 billion annually as internet book sales grew from 6% to 30%. Even obscure products create significant value when matched with the right consumers. Research shows people consistently choose more niche products online versus in physical stores, even with identical selection. Digital platforms remove social inhibitions, as nobody sees your 50 Shades of Grey purchase online. Peer recommendations actually increase diversity. Doubling peer influence increases revenue for the least popular 20% of products by 50%, while decreasing top products' revenue by 15%. Online anonymity enables purchases consumers might avoid in person. The real threat to traditional entertainment isn't niche products themselves, but companies mastering long-tail processes, wide selection, sophisticated recommendations, and data-driven decisions, and applying these approaches to create blockbusters. Netflix didn't just excel at helping you find obscure documentaries, they used those capabilities to create hits like Stranger Things and The Crown. When digital technology made perfect reproduction nearly free, piracy evolved from a minor annoyance to an existential threat. The evidence is clear. 22 of 25 peer-reviewed studies show piracy significantly harms legal sales. Piracy competes on timeliness, quality, and usability. When consumers can access high-definition content immediately for free, traditional release strategies collapse. Research confirms that targeting piracy sites changes consumer behavior. The mega upload shutdown increased digital movie sales by 6.5 to 8.5%. When the UK blocked 19 piracy sites, visits to legal streaming services rose by 12% overall, 23.6% among heavy users of blocked sites. As Steve Jobs noted, you can't eliminate piracy, but must compete with it, either by making paid content more convenient and reliable, or by making pirated content harder to access. Successful companies do both, creating seamless user experiences while reducing access to illegal alternatives. When NBC pulled its content from iTunes in 2007, believing it had leverage as the top video supplier, it learned a painful lesson. BitTorrent piracy doubled compared to iTunes sales, with users downloading entire seasons rather than selected episodes. When NBC returned a year later under essentially the same terms, piracy decreased by only 7.7%. The damage was permanent. Several factors create nearly insurmountable barriers to entry in online retail. Consumers prefer having all digital content on a single trusted platform rather than scattered across services. Digital rights management often restricts purchased content to a particular distributor's ecosystem, trapping consumers once they invest in multiple iTunes movies or Kindle books. Digitization enables selling entertainment in large bundles more profitably than physical goods. When bundlers compete, firms with larger bundles gain two advantages: better prediction of consumer valuations and greater ability to outbid smaller competitors for content. This creates a winner-take-most dynamic, concentrating power in a few digital platforms. Entertainment companies must embrace data-driven decision-making and direct-to-consumer relationships to survive. For a century, studios and labels created value by managing scarcity in distribution and production. Digital technology eliminated these scarcities. Future success lies in understanding customers' needs and managing their attention, or companies will become mere content suppliers to digital gatekeepers who truly understand audiences.